go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We have a saying here in the hills. I've been rode hard and put up wet. It stems from the fact that if you have working animals, particularly horses, mules, and donkeys, and you ride them hard and you put them up wet, don't towel them off or anything, they're going to be more tired than they otherwise would have been. I've been rode hard and put up wet. Nonetheless, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you will find us on the interweb tubes. Yes, indeed. And that's where you go if you'd like to, say, sign into the chat room and be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. I myself am signing in now. And just for the sake of candor, I got back here to the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion about 10 minutes ago. And we've been going at it sparrows fart this morning. Maybe it's going to be that way for a while. Thank you to our subscribers. That's how every program begins here. Thank you very kindly to Nagla and Thomas and Paul and Catherine. Thank you very kindly indeed. I had mentioned the fact that that Tracy would have Tracy's In Case of Emergency Meet Tracy's Challenge on the table this evening. Our dear friend Chris in Germany met that and issued a challenge of her own. So fundraising for this evening is down to it was at 270. That takes it down to 170, and Chris in Germany has a challenge for 200 on the table. Chris's I broke the glass and pulled the lever challenge is now on the table. And so that's if we can meet a $200 challenge this evening, we'll be finished for the week and we'll actually be ahead a little bit. And again, this is because I almost didn't make it to air this evening, but I couldn't stand the idea of not having Friday on the front porch, so I beat a hasty retreat to the homestead. Just to give you a quick update, there is an old saying in English, the law, and it's even ungrammatical, that's how old the saying is. The law is an ass. And part of that, it's not meant as a pejorative in the sense of the law is asshole. Anyone who has ever dealt, and I know our buddy John Britovo has, for instance, because he's got a beloved donkey. The law is ass refers to the idea that you can't make a donkey go where a donkey doesn't want to go. And so the law itself is hard to compel to move if the law does not wish to go in that direction. And because of the way that the crisis we've been dealing with for most of this week has unfolded, it is an ass. And neither sugar cubes, nor carrots, nor the application of shall we say, timbered force, will make it go in that direction. Just a second, please. So there's no solution yet. And getting him the help he needs is predicated on the law ceasing to be a ass. And that is a challenge that will continue to consume me through the weekend and into the new week next week. So, again, just warning going forward, there may come afternoons where I just can't be here. I can't say from one day to the next. But holy smokes. Whew. The funny thing is, there are services that are available and could conceivably be leveraged, but they are all running into a brick wall because of the criminal process that was initiated and triggered. And it's going to take some work, and it's going to take some lawyering. That was part of this afternoon. Just wow. So I'm just trying to provide something in the way of an update. And I want to thank you for the continued outpourings of compassion and thoughts. Thank you so very much. Not that I'm trying to convey it, but if you can't tell, I'm exhausted. But along the way, through the course of the day, I caught bits and pieces of things. And so there is, you know, I do have something worth talking, or I hope worth talking about this evening. We've got a good gang gathered together in the wacky, zany, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room. If you decide to wander in for the first time ever, well, we got a good group together to greet you. Warrior Witch and Squeaky and Roger and Jimmy and Driven Slush and Anatole are all waiting, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Jump right in. The conversation's fine. And, of course, in about 50 minutes or so, we will find our way toward the... mice. We will find our way toward the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves and gather around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for our weekly week's-end conversation. If you'd like to be part of that, just run over to headon.live and click on the link there, and it will carry you straight into the group. Folks are gathering. We've already got, five people pulled together. Why, look, it's little Keebler Elf Agnes wandering into the studio.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Agnes. That thing's heavy, honey. Don't hurt yourself.
I'm just a frail little old lady.
Yes, you are. No, you're not. Anybody who believes that does so to their peril.
Oh, please believe it.
Frail, little, old. Yeah, little old Viking warrior pharaoh princess.
Yeah.
Cross her and find out how little, old, and frail she is. And as had been foretold, by the weather shaman yesterday, that was the last of our 90-degree October. We got up into the 70s, but not much more. When we hit the ground running this morning, we were in the high 50s. But it was an extraordinarily beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky. Which I guess made it a little bit more bearable than had the skies been leaden gray and weeping. But made it to this point, and I cannot wait for our weekly Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation. I can't. Let's see. Responding to Chris's challenge is Charlene, an original founding member of the Sorority of Leans and a plank owner in Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Thank you, Charlene. That means that we're down to 175 to go on Chris's challenge. Thank you to Chris again, and thank you to Charlene for jumping in early. Thank you. For some levity, Flavio offers, as reported in Newsweek yesterday, Republican strategist Rick Wilson wrote addressing congressional Republicans. You know, if he wasn't a Republican, I'd give him a cowbell. Trump is a suicide bomber, and you've strapped yourselves to him so tightly that when he explodes, you're all going to meet the 72 porn stars of the Trumpian afterlife with him. Paren, spoiler alert, they all look like Ivanka. That's pretty damn brutal. But yes, definite levity. So, I did manage to catch, and I confess I just sat there looking at it in slack-jawed wonder. I managed to catch Nitwit Nero out on the lawn again with Marine One whirring or idling, I guess, in the background. And I happened to catch it on MSNBC. Jesus, if you ever, ever, ever wanted a textbook example of how to fuck up the for-profit media, MSNBC owned it today. Holy God. Because I sat there watching, again, in slack-jawed wonder, because we're so far into the Nitwit Nero so-called presidency, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the guy can't open his mouth without lying. If the whole Pinocchio thing worked, his nose would go through doors 15 minutes before his body got anywhere near them. He wouldn't be able to walk in the Oval Office because of the curves in the wall. Jesus Christ! And, They just ran it. You know, they fought it moments ago. So it wasn't live. They just rolled the goddamn tape. And because it wasn't live, it didn't... I mean, we talk all the time, and I run clips, and I stop the clip, and we comment on the clip. And then we play the clip some more, and comment some more. But I've got better journalism skills than MSNBC. Fuck me running. Holy mackerel. They just ran it, and it just ran and ran and ran to the point that I was sitting there fit to be tied. Because it was lie after lie after lie, pumping the Biden filth out in... And by Biden filth, I don't mean that there's anything filthy about Biden. I mean pumping the filth that they're making up about Biden into the national consciousness with nary a peep. And frankly, I didn't stick around for when the tape finally... For when the video finally ended to see what they said, because I was far too nauseated. It takes a lot to make me just turn it off and go, oh, fuck this, and walk away. But I did. You know, over on the Twitter, I said, Jesus, Nitwit Nero's lying through his teeth again, some more, and you're just letting it roll without comment. And followed that up saying MSNBC should be ashamed of itself for running this mendacious stream of unconsciousness from Julius Geezer without comment. They're ceding the field to a pathological liar. Hashtag asleep at the switch. Because that's what it boiled down to. They may as well have been asleep at the switch. Because see, now... The White House has decided that they've got this new thing that they want to do where, and he dutifully repeated it ignorantly time after time. I don't care about the politics. What I care about is corruption. Says a guy whose entire presidency, nay, his entire life has been a study, a masterclass in corruption. And they just let it roll. It is as if instead of King Hamlet's brother simply pouring poison into his ear, he put a funnel in it that was attached to a pump with 500 gallons of poison. And meanwhile, young Prince Hamlet, standing by, said, just turn it on and let it go. What the fuck? What's a little more poison? Yeah, exactly. Tracy pointing out in regard to Nitwit Nero, are you happy to see me or is that just your nose? Hey, I'm told Ivanka loves that nose. Exactly. Flavio apparently saw the same thing and said of MSNBC, they may as well have been Fox News. And how ironic that just a week before, and maybe it's because of that, just a week before, Nicole Wallace, who worked in the comms shop for Dim Leader, broke away and said, well, you know, we're sorry to interrupt, but he's just not telling the truth and we're not going to help spread it or something like that. Well, I guess somebody got called in on the carpet now, didn't they? Well, true enough. Kyle says, to be fair, he does care only about corruption, so long as he's the one that can, you know, get away with it. Kyle also pointing out 72 virgins that all look like Ivanka. Yeah, that's enough to make me laugh and ruin dinner. Rick Wilson is pretty damn good with the one-liners that like that. I obviously disagree with him politically, but he's the kind of Republican I wish still ran their party and was in the majority within it. Well, remember, it wasn't Rick Wilson intimately, and I don't mean that way, associated with John McCain? And John McCain was known for shooting his mouth off. I have a feeling Rick Wilson probably wrote some of those witticisms. And what it boiled down to, and Kyle distills it nicely, the right wing has now taken the position that Trump asking for information on a political opponent from a foreign country can't be a crime because information isn't a thing of value, crimes can't be crimes when done by Trump, and that constitutional oversight is unconstitutional. Up is down, left is right, back is forward, night is dark. They're grasping at straws, Kyle says. They're running for the exits. It'd be funny if what they're trying to do to undermine our Constitution wasn't so fucking scary and such a serious situation. Hey, thank you, Glenn. Thank you for jumping in. Takes us down to 160 on Chris's challenge. Thank you very kindly. It is almost, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of my job. And I'm not pissing and moaning. But shit the bed. It's getting physically painful to sit and watch this crap. Holy God. The timing on it was 20 minutes, but I could have sworn I was watching it for a half hour. I mean, how far gone does Nitwit Nero have to be to say the following?
If you notice, they don't mention the call I had with the president of Ukraine. They don't mention that because it was so good. The only time they mentioned it was when Adam Schiff made it up.
How can he make up a call that he just admits that he made? And within the 24-hour period between when Chlamydia Claudius begged China and Ukraine to investigate Hunter Biden, he said it didn't happen. One reporter asked him if he asked any country to crack down on corruption that didn't involve one of his political opponents, and the answer you get back is,
you know, we would have to look.
Look. You'd have to look. Well, I guess we better get looking because all that listening is proving that, no, he only goes after his political opponents.
Russia, if you're listening, maybe you can find Hillary's emails.
And within a day, the little trolls and the troll farms were hacking away, trying to do the bidding of Julius Geezer. Jack in Shreveport asks, the MSNBC fuck-up, whose show did this happen on? What time did it happen? Maybe it had to do with host, producer? What was it? God, it was like 12:30 to or 1:30, somewhere in there. But when it comes to interrupting something like that, that's entirely on the host. Maybe the operative theory was we're going to give him enough rope, but we know that doesn't work. So he just sat there and was given the stage to lie and lie and lie and lie. Of course, in the space between yesterday and today, there's been an outpouring of State Department text messages that show the id quae opre oque. I'm saying that so that the little maggot turds listening to the program will be confused for the next 2 hours and 33 minutes. So the President of the United States declares, when being asked about the text messages, the text messages that said that if Zelensky wanted a meeting with the president, that they had better, by God, show some real esprit de corps in investigating Biden. And when that was brought up, the response of the venereal Vespasian was, "I don't even know most of these ambassadors. I don't even know their names." Oh, I think that falls under malfeasance in office. I mean, you did, after all, appoint each and every one of them and sent their names to the Senate for confirmation, and I'll bet there's two or three tweets about what an awesome person they are. And then there's the question of why we had the Mueller investigation and the general investigation into the Russian meddling in our election. And this was a great big pogo sticking up onto the cross. As he tried to throw our closest allies on planet Earth under the bus.
I was investigated. I was investigated, and they think it could have been by the UK. They think it could have been by Italy. They think it could have been by Australia.
And it all started when George Papadopoulos had a little too much Pinot Noir. Okay, Mad Dog 2020. Threw a straw in a bar in London and ran his yap at an Australian diplomat.
They think.
Who's they? The spirochetes? It went on. Oh, my God. He comes walking out of the White House.
So the unemployment numbers just came out. And they're the best numbers we've had in over 50 years.
No, they're not. Not even remotely.
But they're the best numbers. I have the best numbers because I'm a very stable genius, and I have only the best numbers, only the best people.
Unemployment number is down to 3.5%, so that goes way, way back. We haven't had numbers like this in a long time. Wages are up by almost...
We haven't had unemployment numbers like this since a whole lot of people didn't get paid for doing the work that they did, and that was back when America was great.
5%. That's a fantastic increase for everybody out there working. We're very happy about those numbers. The stock market is substantially up as it was yesterday. And our country does well. Europe is not doing well. Asia is doing poorly, to put it mildly. And we continue to do very well with the miracle. But the unemployment numbers just came out, 3.5% unemployment. And that is a tremendous number.
Honest to Jesus, he talks like my grandmother. I mean, my grandmother was intelligent, but by the time her mind began to leave her, she would say something, and then 30 seconds later, she would say the same thing she had just said. Shit. What's that, Silent Or Lamar? What will the Republicans do? Let's say China or another country who are mad at Trump should dump some Trump dirt onto the U.S. soil. Will they think the information on Trump then is okay?
No, that'll be fake news. Just fake news.
So with Marine One whirring or hissing in the background, or however you care to describe it, he comes out and delivers the talking points that have been given to him while his rails of Adderall were being cut out for him. And within 7.5 minutes, this
glimpse of what's going to happen. Because in North Carolina, we had two races. One gentleman, Dan Bishop, was down by 17 points with 3 weeks to go, and he won easily. And the other man, as you know, Greg Murphy, was up by a very little bit, and he won by a massive amount. I don't know, someplace in the 20s, 20% or something, maybe higher. So I think you got your first glimpse of what's going to happen. And the big key is that I have to campaign there. But if you look at what happened in North Carolina, two races, we won both of them, and we won them easily. And one was almost tied, and the other one was a big, big lead. And that one turned, and the tie became a landslide.
Oh, by the way, he also declared that he won the presidency in a landslide. Hell of a landslide that happens when you lose the popular vote by 3 million and only wind up being president by operation of a constitutional anachronism left over from our slavery days. Some landslide that. Oop. I already watched this once. I don't think I can go through it twice. But at least I'm interrupting it to point out the lunacy of what he said. Not so over at MSNBC, which is more than happy to donate their air, just as they did back when Joe and Mika were eager to have him on the phone any old time he cared to call. Just gave him free campaign airtime. I know, Megan. I know. I get it. I'm sick of Tangerine Tiberius, says Megan. When he's not making up achievements to make himself look wonderful, he's pointing a finger at others to make himself look like the hero or the victim, projecting what he himself does to avoid getting caught. I'm so sick of him that if I never see or hear of or about or from him ever again, it'd be too soon. P.S. How long before Nitwit Nero just walks outside, takes his clothes off, and just ambles around the south lawn of the White House, screaming, no collusion? No, that's been changed, Megan. We've still got the standing bet that eventually he will take his clothes off and start playing with himself in public with the cameras rolling. But now we know he'll be saying, I care about corruption, fap, 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 fap. I care about corruption, fap, 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 fap. Well, James informing me, James in Illinois, it wasn't just MSNBC. CNN also ran it. It's no different than the ongoing counter-narrative that seeps from his mouth every time he sees a camera. He knows that we know what's happening. It's just more what you're hearing and what you're seeing is not what's happening. Hey, thanks, Jack. Jack just took us down to $115 on Chris's challenge. Thank you very kindly, Jack. Silent R. Lamar says, I feel something big is on its way. I feel some country is waiting. Our election is on its way with Trump and the one Democrat, and they start showing their proof, and it will not be just one country dumping dirt on Trump. Just you wait. I hope you're right. In all sincerity, I hope you're right. But that's not journalism. Just letting someone stand there and lie and demonstrate their mental lack of fitness to discharge the duties of the office. I mean, so maybe there will be a record of it, but somebody would have to act first. Kyle asking, God fucking damn it, they're going to do it again, aren't they? Give this asshole free time because he's good for business while he pisses the entire country and Constitution down the toilet. Jesus Christ, wake the fuck up, MSM. Oh, Kyle, they're awake. This would be a good time to remind you of the words in 2016 of one Les Moonves, who has since gone on to live on a farm in upstate where he can play outside and have fun all day long, who said, listen, Donald Trump may not be good for America, but he's great for CBS. Well, the same thing could be said by any executive of any of the billionaire for-profit media. And just to give you an idea of how it all works, I have to believe, understanding how dangerous that word is, I have to believe that people whose judgment and journalistic ethics I trust far more than most watched what their networks did with this mendacious diatribe and had to be as furious as we are. But the problem is, in order for their checks to keep clearing, they have to keep silent. Because they're not the managing editor or the vice president of programming or the president of the network. They may be millionaires, but they are fireable millionaires. And that makes all the difference in the world. The text messages are breathtaking. As to yesterday's demand for China and Ukraine to meddle in the 2020 election, well, Bishop Willard Romney, that man of jello spine, said it was wrong and appalling for him to do that. You know, good for you, Willard. How are you going to vote if it comes down to it? One of the lies that he told Nitwit Nero today was, I have a 95% approval rating in the Republican Party. We'll get it to the Senate and we'll win. The Republicans are unified. And now the latest pathetic stratagem from the GOP is to say that the Democrats can't hold an impeachment inquiry until they vote in the whole chamber, an entire House vote on an impeachment inquiry. Now, they know they're in the minority, and they know they'll lose, the Republicans, that the impeachment inquiry would pass. But their cynical political strategy is that by making each individual member vote on it, that somehow or another that will give them campaign leverage in individual districts to attack Democratic members for supporting or upholding their oaths to the Constitution. Subpoenas have gone out to Mike Pencilneck Geek, who has said that he's not sure if he's actually going to obey the law of the United States. And the same thing was echoed by Nitwit Nero today.
We'll get it to the Senate, we'll win, but it's up to the lawyers as to whether they would obey the law.
One of the text messages says, and I quote, that there was, quote, additional pressure on Ukraine to deliver on the president's demand for Ukraine to launch politically motivated investigations. Well, that seems pretty clear. Meanwhile, declaring himself dictator for life, Nitwit Nero said,
as the president of the United States, I have an absolute right, perhaps even a duty, to investigate, he said duty, or have investigated corruption, and that would include asking or suggesting other countries to help us out. That was a tweet.
And by the way, for those keeping score at home, that's another one of those things that would not be hearsay if it was offered up at a, say, a criminal trial, because it is a party admission under Federal Rule of Evidence 801D2A. An admission. And we have since found out in the last 24 hours, because it's so goddamn hard to keep up, that Ukraine tried to mollify Cantaloupe Caligula by drafting a statement saying that they'd take a look at the Biden thing. But then it came back to the State Department and Rudy Giuliani, and they inserted changes. They actually drafted language that they wanted the Ukrainians to make public. The Ukrainians looked at it and went, no, I don't think so. Steve in New York noting, the disgusting thing is this, not that there's an avalanche of dirt ready to fall on Trump, it's that the maggots won't care, and the mainstream media will make tons of money. Well, it is capitalism, y'all. Making tons of money, regardless of the well-being or the harm that it does to the republic, is, in fact, the point. The other thing that I kept hearing all day long was, Elizabeth Warren announced $25 million in the last campaign quarter. Not as much as Bernie has raised, but it's a damn sight more than Joe Biden's raised.
Fuck off. Fuck right the fuckity fuck off.
Measuring electoral prowess by money raised, it's probably heretical for me to even say this. But that, again, is one of those confessions that we probably don't need to be making. By the way, kudos to Elizabeth Warren's team for sending dinner to Bernie's close immediate staff as they were all worrying and watching and waiting as he recovers, and hopefully fully, from his unscheduled heart procedure. That was damn decent. But, this is October, so 4 months before the first primary, measuring viability by money is actually more disgusting than measuring candidate viability by what people in states that probably won't even give their electoral votes to the Democrat is. Because I just can't get past that. I'm sorry, I can't. Steve in New York says, don't look now, but Bishop Willard is extremely troubled. Trouble, oh, trouble, go away. Yeah. James in Illinois says he's lying about that, too. He slipped to 80% among Republicans. Exactly. But I suspect that nobody dares tell him that. If it hadn't gone out of fashion by now, you could take that clip of from the German movie Der Untergang, The Downfall, and make it, you know, Hitler finds out Trump's support has fallen to 80%. It would be almost as funny as Hitler finds out Michael Jackson has died. Let's be real, Bob, says Darlene in Connecticut, and not mince words. They're basically saying that Bernie had a heart attack. I don't know. Well, they might be implying it, but it's possible to need a stenting procedure without having a heart attack. The telltale on the heart attack is often the heart enzymes. And I haven't seen anything about what his heart enzyme levels were. But the Washington Post is saying otherwise. A heart attack caused Senator Bernie Sanders to be hospitalized earlier this week, doctors say. Sanders, 78, who was released Friday from a Las Vegas hospital, experienced chest pains at a Tuesday campaign event. Doctors found a blockage in one artery and performed a stent procedure to clear it. Senator Sanders was diagnosed with a myocardial infarction, his doctor said in a statement released by his campaign. Bernie had a heart attack. Heart attacks are not uncommon at 78 years old. And that is not that's not a slur. That's not a criticism. I do have my doubts about making someone president who will be older upon entering the job than anyone we've ever had leaving it. As in older than Reagan, who was batshit crazy by the time he left the job. But I hope for a full recovery for him. Oh, little something else from some emails. The Daily Beast has the story. They got hold of emails that implicate Natalia Veselnitskaya. Remember her? We kind of got lost. We kind of forgot about Natalia Veselnitskaya because of Marina Butina. But Natalia Veselnitskaya is the one who took the meeting with Beavis at Trump Tower back in 2016. Okay? Well, it turns out, according to the Daily Beast's reporting, that one of the witnesses involved in a U.S. trial that was whose focus was Russian corruption, well, oopsie, that witness just happened to fall from a window. Hey, what are you doing over at that open window? Here, let's look out together. Wait, is that a 1905 Indian head nickel?
Aye.
Right. According to the Daily Beast, Nikolai Grokov was allegedly thrown from his fourth-floor apartment window in Moscow before he appeared in a corruption trial in 2017. His Russian lawyer says, I can remember nothing of this. Gorokov is the Russian lawyer in question. I do not remember anything. I have fractured skull now. The Daily Beast reporting a cache of emails obtained by the Dossier Center, a Russian opposition organization based in London, exposes the depth of foreign asset entanglement in Trump's America at the precise moment that the president's dealings with Ukrainian officials threaten to pull the Department of Justice and State Department into an unseemly impeachment fight. The cache of emails that detail Veselnitskaya's legal campaign and lobbying efforts in Washington, D.C., were shared with the Daily Beast by Dossier Center, funded by Mikhail Khodorkovsky, an exiled critic of huggable, snuggleable, lovable Vlad Putiput. The emails cannot be independently verified by the Daily Beast via a digital signature, but elements contained with them, including cell phone numbers, bank details, planning, email addresses, and hearing dates, can be confirmed by cross-checking with subsequent court papers, lobbyist filings, and other reporting. New emails from the same cache, which includes messages from and to Veselnitskaya and her aide and translator, Murat Glaschev, shed light on Veselnitskaya's lobbying and legal campaign against the Magnitsky Act and appear to suggest that it may have been carried out in breach of another U.S. law and court orders. Some of the emails suggested the breaking of an order put in place by a New York court to protect the identity of Gorokov, a Russian witness who testified in a sealed deposition. His evidence was hidden amid fears of reprisals back home. Comrade Gorokov, look out! Is banana peel by your window? Oh, too late. Wow. But is unfortunate coinky dinky. Brother Deacon Asa says, you're not suggesting the feller was thrown down the side of the building under the orders from the exalted, firm but fair leader of the Russian Federation, are you, Bob? No, would never suggest such thing. Is all the time in Mother Russia banana peels by open windows? Russians love to stare at the Moscow skyline while eating bananas and sometimes let banana peels pile up before taking peels to a garbage bin. This happened in Mother Russia. Banana's not so easy to come by. Love the banana. Well, who does not love banana? Especially with peanut butter. On hard and brittle bread of Mother Russia with little bit of mayo. Grilled in yak fat, for we do not have butter. It's called Comrade Elvis sandwich. It's delicious. Many times Russians having Comrade Elvis sandwich will sometimes take out heroic firearms of motherland and shoot television set. Especially if Pussy Riot on television set. Countdown to Ron and Raleigh. Bob, is that comrade? Is that old comrade Ivan Kincaid? Yes, it is. I'll just save you the trouble, Ron. Thank you. There's nothing suspicious about slipping on banana peel and falling out the window in Mother Russia. You know how last night we talked about the Republican Frankenstein monster and why Republicans don't say anything about the fact that Trump's caught dead to rights because they're afraid that their own supporters will open fire on them? Remember a few weeks ago when Meghan McCain, who, if her name was not McCain, would be waiting tables at a Waffle House on the midnight shift, said that if anybody came for the AR-15s, that gun owners in America would start shooting people? Yeah. Oh, what's that, Ron and Raleigh? Can you say defenestration? I guess this is the real Overton window, Ron says. I came late tonight. Have you discussed Jacob Wohl's accusation that Elizabeth Warren's rough sex with a 24-year-old Marine and his female friend? Haven't gotten there yet, but golly, that was yesterday's desperately needed moment of comic relief. Yes, yes, Jacob Wohl, accused felon, held a news conference with a 24-year-old Marine who said that he had been doing the nasty, bumping the booties, no, not booties, boots, knocking boots, with Elizabeth Warren. The assembled members of the press laughed at him and were told at one point, if you laugh, you have to leave. But at least Jacob had his fly up. Ron and Raleigh says, I'm trying to get the vision of Mistress Liz in leather thigh-high boots and bustier with a cat mask wielding a cat of nine tails out of my mind all day. That's on you, Ron. Damn it. It's like an earworm, only visual. Now I got to work on getting it. Tell me about the wealth tax. Who's been a bad billionaire? Now, a note coming in from Tracy. National Punch a Motherfucker in the Throat Day. I had a particularly stressful day today dealing with L.A. traffic, so much so that all I wanted to do was punch someone. So that's when I decided that there should be a National Punch a Motherfucker in the Throat Day. To celebrate, at my discretion, of course, any time a motherfucker does something that I deem that a punch in the throat is necessary to address, which unfortunately is every fucking day. With that said, in honor of the inaugural National Punch a Motherfucker in the Throat Day, I henceforth pledge a $10 challenge in honor for every time you wanted to punch a motherfucker in the throat. But because we're good people and not Trumpansies, but damn, wouldn't it be awesome if we could do it just once and, you know, get away with it. So that can be part of the discussion when we go to the old holler tree where we keep the extraordinary ordinary roundtable. Let's talk about those times you just felt like you wanted to punch a motherfucker in the throat. Because sometimes, well, as Robert Frost once said, it's hard to avoid when it's in you and it's in the situation. Steve in New York, Elizabeth Warren, I'm definitely voting for her now. Steve, you're gay. Well, I mean, but still, leather's leather, right? Yeah. I better stop before this gets out of hand. The program's an hour old and could jump the tracks and be in the gutter before we knew it. So we've got $160 to go on Chris's challenge. And every time somebody mentions a time when they wanted to punch a motherfucker in the throat, Tracy's down for $10. So let's go over and check in out in the shadow of Mount Lassen with Sparky in the old holler tree. Hey, Sparky.
I'm in the man cave, Bob.
Which is
the
in
the holler trees. The hollow tree's out in the cow pasture.
Yeah, but there's like a bat cave to it, right? Say yes.
Well, no bats, but I got rats. I got a question for you.
Yes?
What do you think makes a crushed beer can fascinating to a rat?
I'd say the smell of the beer that's still in the can.
I've got a bin over here. It's like a 9-inch square bin, or it might be a little bigger than that, coming from somewhere, sheet metal. And I have this homemade Sparky Special can smasher that comes, has a old 1950s barbell or weight set keeper on it.
All right.
That's about 3 inches in diameter or so. It's just a little wider than the can. And I smashed them really flat.
Yeah.
Well, this rat has been getting into that box, pulling out beer cans, jumping up. There's a corner shelving unit in the cave between the north door and the east door. It's got shop stuff on it. There's a couple chainsaws sitting there and a hedge clipper and my weed eaters over there. And it's just all kinds of stuff, junk. Well, he's hiding these beer cans along these shelves on two different levels.
Well, it might be, there's the shiny thing factor. They may be pack rats. And you may find that they leave you something in return. But the smell is what'll attract them. If you don't rinse them out real good, that stale beer, rotten beer funk will draw them from miles away.
Well, anyway, I got the electrocution chamber over there and then a mechanical trap.
You with the electrocution chamber, can you do like an evil scientist laugh, Sparky? You know, one of, yeah, that exact. Yes, you can. I'm so proud. Every time you mention the electrocution chamber, you have to do that.
Anyway.
Oh, by the way, Bernie
walked out of the hospital today.
Oh yeah.
You didn't mention that.
Well, I thought I mentioned that he was released.
Yeah, but you didn't say he walked out. I saw him. There's video of him walking out of the hospital.
Okay, yeah.
MSNBC cut to that.
Well, thank heaven for small favors. It goes a very little way toward expiating what they did earlier. And Jesus, that was embarrassing.
But the time frame you mentioned, that's during Andrea Mitchell's show.
Was it? Well, that would make sense, Mrs. Greenspan and all. Maybe she's not up to the ad lib.
Yeah, because here, you said it was around 12:30.
Yeah.
Well, that's 9:30 here, and that's, I turned MSNBC on around that time.
I just sat there for minute after minute after minute after minute going, when is somebody going to say something about this?
Well, I just looked at it. As soon as they cut away to it, I just went, fuck this. And I went on to something else, reading some news, going to NFL news,
remember, I'm Odysseus lashed to the mast while everybody else has beeswax in their ears. And the siren song is nothing anybody else wants to hear. And Donald Trump as the siren is I think had it been Donald Trump back then, Odysseus would have just gone ahead and smashed his ship onto the rocks. But I'm funny that way. Hey, I made a mistake. I said 165. It was 115. And James in Illinois made it 105. Saying that's for the throat punch, because apparently James has a story, and you need to send it in an email, James, of when you felt like somebody needed a punch in the throat. And then Gary jumped in and took us down to $55 to go to meet Chris's challenge. So thank you. Thank you kindly.
You're welcome.
Much obliged, Gary. Much obliged, man. so far it looks like kind of a quiet little night, a quiet little evening, afternoon in the room. Don't know where Billable.
Steve was here, I thought.
And
I know he's put Billable Rick on the call, but you know he could be busy. Yeah. He's green, so he's got Skype online somewhere.
Yeah.
And I sent a message to John Brivido.
Yeah, his dot is yellow.
Mm-hmm. But I sent a message to him on Facebook. He was green on Facebook.
Oh, and by the way, Flavio reminds me, you forgot to mention Elizabeth Warren's classy response. It's always a good day to be reminded that I got where I am because a great education was available for $50 a semester at the University of Houston. Go Cougars, tweeted Warren. Warren is an alumna of the University of Houston, where she was both a law professor in the 1980s and an undergraduate student in the late 1960s. Yeah, it really, you don't want to respond to a little, there's that classic Southern term, a little peckerwood, like Jacob Wohl.
I was surprised this week. My sister, who lives in Tennessee, sent me an email. She goes, "Can you explain to me why people still support Trump?" And then she says, "He's crazy."
Well, some are waking up, apparently. I mean, was she pro-Trump?
No, I just assumed she was when she used to buy my dad when he was alive, books by
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly, yeah, Killing Somebody books.
Yeah, it's funny how he did Killing Jesus and Killing Kennedy and Killing Patton, but he still hasn't gotten around to Killing Bill O'Reilly.
My sister still, my
I'd
oldest
read that.
Sister still lives. I don't talk to her that often. And I found out my cousin just hates the hell out of me when my sister was here visiting. My cousin came over to see me, and my cousin that was here, sister, is just fanatic on it, I guess, hating Trump. She lives in one of the many burgs that in the foothills that are kind of really becoming liberal in Nevada City, California, Grass Valley area.
Nice. So,
yeah, somebody said I think I'm in, guest.
No, you're not
in yet. Can't hear Bob, you're not in.
Right. Yeah, so what do we do? Press the phone button?
Yeah, we can do that.
I did it.
Okay.
I don't know if it means anything, but
yeah, it's ringing.
Ah, okay. Yeah, there you are.
Okay, I think I'm in.
Oh, hey, Roger.
I'm in as RO instead of my usual Condor.
Well, you're in as just guest at this point in time. I don't even
know. Well, that'll work for tonight.
Good enough. Close enough for government work. So, welcome. Anything on your mind?
Roger?
Yes.
Yeah, I said, anything on your mind?
Anything on your mind?
Yeah. I was just the other day just sort of wishing that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was still the press secretary, because I think it would just be so entertaining to watch her dance.
I think there's a pill for that now, Roger, because that's just sick.
She's on Fox News now. But I think Trump has become his own press secretary.
I'm going to have to back out because I'm getting a double feed here somehow. So let me back everything out and I'll come back in later.
All right. Sounds good, Roger.
All right.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
This is Gary.
Yeah.
I went up to Kankakee this afternoon talking to my financial advisor. And I guess she's pretty good, but she's a big Trump supporter. we kind of... talking about she thinks he's a financial genius.
I'd think about moving my account. Not that I'd give advice on that or anything, but
no. I mean, she's done okay over the years. I think she knows a lot more about the stock market than Donald Trump does. But and I kind of got her going on some other stuff, like she advised some stuff I didn't want to get into, but she's not too bad. But the thing is, I don't see how these people who are, in that kind of thing, she works for a large company, think that he is such good at financing.
Well, they think he's rich. They haven't seen the documents to prove that he isn't.
Yeah, maybe.
That's interesting. Is he even in the stock market?
I think he saw his tax returns,
we would know.
Yeah, but Sparky, he has no veracity. I think during the campaign on a couple of programs he was on, he mentions that he doesn't put a lot of stock, so to speak, in the stock market. I think his deal is real estate, or at least that's what he tells people. But it's a good question.
Yeah, well, some of his real estate is underwater.
Well, yeah, I'm sure everybody in the Horn family listening today has seen the movie Casino and knows the premise of it.
Oh, yeah.
The mob running the casino with Robert De Niro acting as the guy running the joint. In the wake of Trump's experience in Atlantic City, having two casinos go bankrupt, it makes me kind of sad that the mob got out of the casino business. Because they wouldn't have let it go that far. He'd be in bed with a horse's head or worse, if he was operating their business in such a shabby manner.
Yeah, I think he would be swimming with the fishes right now.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Had the mob been involved... with what he did to the Trump Taj Mahal, the announce voice before the evening's performance would have said, the role of Mo Green will be played tonight by Donald Trump.
Yeah. Old Donnie would get the Luca Brasi room at the Great Fishes in the Deep Motel,
Well, we're mixing movies. You went with Casino. I went with Godfather. But
yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. They're both good movies. But you get the point. It's like, they wouldn't have put up. It wouldn't have gotten anywhere near that point, that level of incompetence. Well, they wouldn't have hired him, first of all. You can be mobbed up, but you've got to be competent along the way. Otherwise, you sleep with the fishes. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that occurred to me.
That wasn't an interruption. That was just a good interjection.
Oh, good.
Does anybody think the other whistleblower thing with the IRS is going to go anywhere?
It better.
Well, according to what I read, it depends on whether the lawyers think that it adds to or detracts from the other whistleblower.
Yeah, I hope that it does, and I hope that it doesn't interfere. It's just like an adjunct in a case-building process, because it shows a level of a pattern, not a level of a pattern, but the possibility of a pattern in terms of jumping in. And it's the equivalent of jumping in line or getting someone to take your test, People were fairly outraged with the parent scandal, bribing the colleges and stuff. This is that sort of thing. It's that rich privileged attitude, you know, where they think that the rules don't apply to them.
I'm just hoping that the this second whistleblower gets accepted as a legitimate one, and then the more and more and more and more come up, so that it just adds on, and pretty soon Mitch McConnell's going to have to do the Barry Goldwater number and walk over to the White House and say, "Hey, man, you got to go."
Yeah, because the appearance of more good cases.
Yeah, but who's that guy?
Well, I said, as Mitch McConnell has to emulate Barry Goldwater, but I don't think the turtle's got that much in him. But it's there are wedges beginning to form, at least over in the House. And Jeff Flake, although he's no longer in the Senate, is still coming out and saying, "Hey, Republicans, you gotta start putting country first." I just want to see more dominoes fall.
One of the people who went with Goldwater was Hugh Scott, who I was from Pennsylvania, a Republican, and I think he held a title like minority leader of the Senate or something, minority whip. I forget. I can look it up. But Mitch is not going to go. You know that he's not going to eat shit and die. Okay. Mitch will send somebody if anything happens that he is forced into doing something. He ain't going to go down there because him look bad.
What I'm hoping is that another whistleblower and another whistleblower, the cracks will start to form. And there's nobody but Mitch McConnell that can shove his finger in the dike.
Yeah.
And pretty soon the cracks get too big for even his fat face.
Yeah. Plus, more whistleblowers that are actually good cases heightens the confidence for other people to come forward.
Right. That's what I'm getting at, is that more and more whistleblowers show up, and it'll be a domino effect.
Have you guys seen that video of Ernst from Iowa getting harassed?
I've actually got it queued up and was going to bring it up. I'm glad you did.
I haven't caught it.
That would be notable. Let's see. Notable bread bag for shoe wearing Iowa hog deballer Joni Ernst.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, that's what she is. She bragged about, I was born so poor that I had to walk uphill to school each way through hip-deep snow, and I had nothing but bread bags to put on my footstices. And then put out an ad talking about how she knew how to deball a hog, and she'd know how to deal with them liberal men and that there, isn't it?
All that is true, the hog deballing and the bread bag wearing. It's on the back of her bowling shirt. Look, if you don't believe me.
Bowling shirt.
Printed
Wait a
right
minute.
On there.
Probably the only radio program in America this evening that has mentioned bowling shirts.
There you go.
But yeah, Sparky, I've got it here. Let's check it out. Because contrary to the advice she was probably given by Moscow Mitch, Joni decided to have a town hall. And she's probably in trouble in Iowa as it is. She went to Templeton, Iowa, where one of her constituents named Amy Haskins took her to task over her continued fawning obsequiousness toward Donald Trump.
Just this morning, we have President Trump saying, "Oh, we need to talk to Xi Jinping and have, you know, President Xi and have him investigate Joe Biden." How is that helping anybody? Where is the line? When are you guys going to say enough and stand up and say, you know what, I'm not backing any of this? Because we constantly have everybody, oh, well, it's not this, it's not that, or, you know, everything else. But yet you still stand there silent, and your silence is supporting him and not standing up. You yourself, you didn't pledge an oath to the president. You pledged it to our country. You pledged it to our Constitution. When are you guys going to start standing up and actually be there for us?
Okay, so President Trump, I can say yay, nay, whatever. President is going to say what the president is going to do. It's up to us as members of Congress to continue working with our allies, making sure that we remain strong in the face of adversity.
Wow. In football terminology, because tomorrow's a college football Saturday, that's punt! But we're only a minute into a 4-minute clip.
That's what we have to do, is continue to encourage those other countries. So that's what we will continue to do.
I beg your pardon, but all of our allies, he's pushing aside. He's making fun of them on Twitter. He calls
well,
them
and
names,
ma'am.
And then we end up with, oh, we love people from North Korea, or we love Russia. But where... I mean, I understand it's a non-answer answer, and I understand. I get it. I know what you're saying. But
I can't speak for him.
Point,
I'll just say that. I can't speak for him.
I know you can't speak for him, but you can speak for yourself.
And I do. And I have said this time and time again. North Korea, not our friend. Russia, not our friend.
Okay.
I have made that very, very clear, and the president knows where I stand on those issues.
What about whistleblowers?
And I've already said that, too. Whistleblowers should be protected. I stand with Chuck Grassley on this. We have laws in place. Again, laws need to be enforced.
I understand, but we're not hearing it from our...
That's because our media is not covering those issues.
But you have
oh, really?
For our media to cover it.
Yeah, whistleblowers should be protected. Thank you very much. Whistleblowers should be protected. Please let folks out there know.
Our president shouldn't be threatening them, and he also should not be encouraging other countries to investigate his political rivals?
I would say to that, corruption, no matter where it is, should be ferreted out. Whether it's the whistleblower complaint,
oh,
I've read through the transcript.
She got the talking points. Corruption. The password is corruption.
And just on its face value, I don't think there is anything there per se, but and understand, and I'm sure you've read the report as well, but the whistleblower acknowledges this is second, third-hand information. So the Senate Intelligence Committee, they will sort through all of that, and if there are additional witnesses that need to come forward or they need to visit with, they should do that. Absolutely, they should do that. But the question about the whistleblower, there is a disagreement between the president and some of us.
We need to have people that are not worried about what the president's going to say to them in the press, what he's going to call them on Twitter, what he's going to, you know, say during his chopper talk. We need representation of people that are going to stand up and say, this is not right. What he's doing is illegal. What he's doing is not, you know, anything that any president in our history has done before. But they're not there yet. And I don't know what it's going to, that's what I wanted to know. I want to know what's it going to take for them to take a stand. And they don't want to answer that because maybe they don't even know themselves.
Or maybe they're scared of all your neighbors with all the fucking guns. That's just me.
I think that lady deserves a snap with her response to, you know, we're not asking what the president will do. We're asking what you plan to do.
Yeah.
Snap. You know? Jesus. See, that's what constituents ought to be like. I'm assuming that this woman lives in Iowa and that maybe she didn't vote. Maybe she did vote for Ernst. I don't know if they ever discerned that.
Well, it was.
But
sad thing is it was a fairly empty room. If there had been a second person who followed up and said, well, here's what we know so far. This has nothing to do with the whistleblower complaint. Again, he stood out in public in front of God and everybody and called on a foreign nation to spy on us. You down with that?
Yeah.
Is that within your understanding of the Constitution, ma'am? Do you even know how to spell Constitution? How about if I spot you all How about if I spot you all the consonants? Because this, you know, God damn them. There's, and that, you know, that's one of the missing elements of our modern politics, especially on the white wing, is that their constitution exists solely in their own fevered imaginations. And it's got, there's several paragraphs about Jesus and getting saved. And there's paragraphs about, and clauses and sub-clauses about economic anxiety and making America great again. And there's only one amendment, and that's the one about the guns. Yeah, I despise them. As Darlene in Connecticut says, oh, I see. So Joni Ernst never benefited from white privilege. In other words, and to paraphrase Steve Martin, she was born a poor black child. Yeah, only there was something lovable about Steve Martin's character in The Jerk. The same cannot be said of Hog D. Baller Joni.
Where does the issue of what they call sunk costs play into this situation? Because it seems to me that the Republicans have a lot invested in Trump, and it's turning to ashes before in their mouth, you know, in real time. They may not admit it in any public forum, but I think anybody who has a couple of good brain cells to bang together knows in their heart of hearts what the score is. But their alternatives are limited. They can't. They've invested a lot in this guy, and they're hoping for a better outcome than they're seeing unfold before their eyes. They're in a real a bad place, Bob, because there's an election coming up in a year's time, 13 months' time. And I don't know if Ernst is up for I think she was reelected this last time.
No, she's up again. She's up.
Well, I think she needs to start paying attention to her or to her political future.
See, you knock off Joni Ernst, you knock off Susan Collins, Cory Gardner, and pick up one more, and you're done. As long as the Democrats hold all their seats in the Senate.
Somebody put a little message on the screen here. Tracy would punch her in the throat.
You there, Tracy?
I don't know that it was Tracy. It was somebody in the room.
Yes, the little balloon. Yes, I am.
Oh, there
here.
She is. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, y'all.
No. Nobody's talking. Nobody. Okay, Agent Fred, nobody's talking about punching a U.S. senator in the throat. This is all figurative, okay?
That was Mighty Mouth.
We're joking. I would never, like I'm a black woman in the United States. I would not punch anybody in the throat because I would do time. Instantly. That part about, you know, I could not get away with it. I mean, now if I could, that part.
Well, it's kind of like Boss Man Wayne's list. Boss Man Wayne has long said, "Everybody better wake up every morning and thank God I don't have cancer, because if I had terminal cancer, I would have a list."
Well, it's like I said, if I had I don't give a fuck money, you know. But then again, I don't want to be, you know, a punchline on TMZ, and I don't want my name to become a. I don't want my name to become a verb. For a good, you know, unless it's for a good cause. I don't want people, I don't want to say, oh, you just got Tracy'd. But there's so, because like today I was on my way to pick up Penny and I was going to turn right and then I'm like, oh shit, I can't. And so now, and I'm an aggressive but very courteous driver. So when I realized I couldn't make the right turn, I had plenty of room. I put on my signal to indicate, you know, I made a mistake, but I need to merge back over into the lane. And the car behind me was, there was plenty of room for me and time for me to get over. But what this motherfucker does, of course, not only does the asshole speed up, then the motherfucker has the nerve to blow at me. And that's when I'm like, that's when I thought about National Punch a Motherfucker in the Throat Day. Because there was absolutely no reason for them to blow at me or speed up. But they saw that, because, you know, I put it on my asshole indicator light, which, as you know, is the turn signal. Because when you put on your turn signal, that's the, you know, the asshole indicator light, and assholes, all this, you know, person, you know, usually perfectly reasonable people all of a sudden turn into assholes when you turn on your signal light, because all of a sudden they have to speed up, or they, whatever the case may be, and they lose their fucking minds because you turn on your indicator light. I don't know why that happens. But that part.
I'm sure the Massachusetts members of the Horn Family Community Congregation could tell you that up there, up that way, that is known, I am told, as masshole behavior, as in don't be a masshole.
Don't be a masshole. And as far as Elizabeth Warren, that part about her sleeping with a 24-year-old, even if that was, even if it was true, good on her. Fuck yeah, Cougar Town, 24-year-old. Oh, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Get your freak on. How Elizabeth.
It's never too late, and you're never too old.
Man, shit.
Beats the shit out of Jeremy Epstein with 16-year-olds.
Then there's
he's 24 years old. That means he's a consenting motherfucking adult.
And a Marine.
And a Marine. So he's serving his.
Well, they just. They found a picture of his scars, right? Or he said about his scars from her. Well, they found a picture on Instagram, a post from Instagram of a picture of that scar, and it said, "Oh shit, accidentally, I was trying to cut a tree swing down, and a chain came down and hit my back." You can actually see the chain link pattern on the scar, so it's more bullshit.
No, it's not true, but it's the fact. And even if it were, so the fuck what?
Well, getting back to Trump and the request for China to investigate, I just wish Nancy Pelosi or somebody like that had come up and said, "Well, I think it's a great idea for China to investigate corruption. What about Ivanka? What about Jared?"
Oh, good observation, Roger. You're winning.
Maybe it's me, but doesn't China have enough of our jobs? What, are you going to send one more fucking job over to China? First of all, there's nothing to investigate. There's a high.
Well, I'm not so sure there's nothing to investigate about Ivanka.
No, I'm talking about
Ivanka's patents came up in a very, very strange way.
No, I'm talking about the. You know, the Trump scenario made up in his own otherwise empty head, you know, that you know, Biden is Satan incarnate and his spawn is worse. And they're just ne'er-do-wells, you know, et cetera, deflecting and projecting attention from himself. The old Trump routine.
Oh, I agree he was doing it for deflection. And if you start looking into Hunter and that Crimea company that he got appointed to, that was an attempt to weed out corruption, and Hunter Biden had experience on giving legal advice to major corporations that were dealing with corruption in their past. So, I mean, that was kind of legitimate. But I'm simply talking about the fact when Trump was saying he wanted to get China to investigate Hunter and Joe, why nobody came back and said, "I think it's a good thing for him to investigate corruption and bring up the Trump family corruption in China." And I'm not talking about
exporting
more jobs to China.
But no, I think Scott was being a little facetious.
Yeah, but a comeback to him investigating familial or nepotism corruption and bullshit.
Right. I think because that would, Roger, easy. that would serve to take the, because, you know, they started out with, it was a perfect phone call. And then they had to shift to corruption. Something like that would take corruption away from them.
Yeah.
You know, Trump wants to know about corruption in China. Well, let's check in with Ivanka. Oh, and Sparky, would you mind unmuting Tracy, please?
I can't do that.
How come?
It won't let me do it.
It won't let you do it?
Yeah, he can mute, but he can't unmute.
No. We went through that last week with you.
Okay, so...
before we started.
I thought you muted Tracy. I thought her the signal was breaking up.
Well, that and somebody sounded like somebody was mixing a drink or something. I heard water going.
It was me making coffee.
It was just annoying sound.
I'm sorry. That's damn good coffee.
Well, I muted finally, you too.
Yeah, I know. I've got the proportions right as to how much coffee, ground coffee to use. Man, now I'm going to get spoiled. I hope my mystery benefactor knows this.
So you've got the ratio right?
Yeah, I got the proportions and all right. And I had forgotten how good ground, you know, brewed coffee is when you've got the, you know, the ratios right and all that. And again, thank you to my mystery benefactor for my little coffee maker.
Hey, Bob, we got somebody new in here.
Oh, yeah? Who?
Lambie Lane.
Oh, wow. Hey, welcome aboard. Lane.
Don't know if they're going to talk.
Well, jump right in if you feel so inclined. And John's with us as well, and I saw John try to call earlier this week, and I don't know why, but I missed it. Are you there, John?
Sometimes. Which one? There's a couple of us.
I think that's you. John in PA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. It's been a long while because I work second shift now, and then I have, you know, band practice on Fridays usually this time, but we didn't have any. We have it tonight, so just figured I'd join the conversation. I have a question for you there, real quick, that I've been meaning to ask you for a long time.
Yes.
Nancy Pelosi, when she was on the floor, House floor, speaking one time, probably about a month or two ago now, and she referred to somebody as Mr. Speaker. And I'm like thinking, well, is she not the speaker?
When she's on the floor, she isn't. You know?
Oh, really?
So, yeah, she has to turn the gavel over, just like, you know, technically the Vice President of the United States is President of the Senate, but in the absence of the Vice President, it's the President Pro Tem. But the President Pro Tem is usually the oldest member of the majority party in the Senate, who seldom wants to do the job. So the gavel rotates, and so regardless of who is holding the gavel, when the senators stand up to speak, they say, Mr. President! And they ain't talking about the President of the United States, they're talking about the President of the Senate.
Right,
to the same extent, when the speaker goes to speak from the floor, she's surrendered her speakership, but her ability to control the progress of the debate. And to rule on motions and whatnot.
And could that mean a Republican is then?
No.
No. Okay, so she just gives it to another party member or something like
right.
that.
Right. She gives it to another member of her caucus.
All right. That's crazy. Yeah, I was wondering about that. And, like, I remember thinking about this before, about the President Pro Tem, because I remember thinking, okay, so what the hell is the difference between the majority leader and the President Pro Tem? I know the majority is more political, you know, position, but the pro tem, who is that right now? Wasn't it Orrin Hatch
or something? Well, it was, recently? But he's gone.
Okay, so some other asshole now.
Yeah, it's
right?
Some other ancient fuck. Probably from Mississippi or something.
Okay. I mean, these people are getting nuts, man. It's getting way, way worse. Like, I just don't know what to do anymore. And I remember, I mean, today I called my congressman up to complain about this, you know, the criminality of Trump. And I said, and another thing, these people have never worked a day in their lives, you know. And of course, personally, yes, they have, you know, of course, defending Trump already. I'm just thinking, man, you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. They're everywhere, you know.
No, that's why, you know, what I was talking about at the beginning of the program, John, what I watched when he was just sitting there, standing there losing his mind on the White House lawn, and when I looked up in the corner, it said, recorded moments ago. I'm like, okay, so it's not live, so the live part of it is not news. So somewhere along the way, you need to pop in and say, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. Or graphics are awesome. Pop up a graphic says, not true. Or a picture of, for people old enough to enjoy the comedy of it, a picture of Joey Zuzu.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Because this is the Joey Zuzu presidency.
He's lying. He's lying. Stupid.
Is it laziness? I mean, like, because I remember, this is going back to 2000, like, man, I remember 2015, me looking at how the media treated Trump and stuff, the rise of Trump, and thinking, wow, they're almost helping it, you know?
Well, I might be inclined to buy into lazy if it weren't for what I also mentioned. And that is that last week, Nicole Wallace, again, from the Dim Leader Communications Department, Nicole Wallace broke in on him when he was yammering live and said, I'm sorry, I hate to break away from the president speaking, but what he's saying is simply not true. And it sort of got...
You think she got in trouble?
I damn sure think she did. You will not do that again.
They probably got in trouble by the advertisers.
No. By the Republicans who head every goddamn network there is.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
That's another thing.
I'm sure I didn't go wandering over into the right-wing sewer of the Internet, the sewer side of the Internet, but there were probably articles at that website that rhymes with light and fart. Goddamn, Nicole Wallace interrupts our dear leader, calls him a liar. She's an unpatriotic whore. I guarantee you it's out there.
Oh, yeah, they're vicious. They're vicious. They
She's made that statement several times that she won't run clips from him.
Yeah, but I don't think she's done it in the last week.
One time. Well, can't get Rachel Maddow to play a Trump clip, because I think she saves that. Plays the clips and takes them apart.
Right.
James.
But she's Rachel Maddow, and she's running at night, and he very seldom speaks at night. See, the difference between her and Nicole Wallace is that Nicole Wallace broke away from, from live TV. So when Rachel takes apart a clip, that's what she does. But to break away and say, I'm sorry, he's a liar.
Show clips of Trump.
No. I know. But when she talks about him lying, it's different than breaking away from live.
I'm just telling you my observation.
No, I get that.
MSNBC.
Yeah. But, you know, Nicole Wallace may also have enough seniority that she can do it. But the bottom line is, whose ever block that was today, whether it was 1 or we were out of here at 1:30, so I think it was between 1 and 1:30. They just let that filth roll. And it is, at least to my mind, journalistic malpractice.
Yeah, and like
when you do that, I gotta put specific time on it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was kind of otherwise engaged.
Andrea Mitchell, and then Velty and Rule, and then Velty comes back on again at noon my time, 3 o'clock your time.
Yeah.
So I've been pretty much glued to TV ever since all the stupid shit started. The weird.
Well, right, because you never know when he's going to rip his clothes off and start playing with himself, and you kind of want to be there for that moment. Not that you want to see it, but you want to. But it's kind of like 9/11 or the Kennedy assassination, so you can remember where you were when the president of the United States went completely barking mad, took off his clothes, and started playing with himself in front of live TV camera.
You know the guy that came out and said he sorted Adderall from The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Well, there was a story out today that he wears adult diapers by the same guy said that on Twitter, and had a picture of Lonnie in a blue jacket, and Lonnie was waiting for him to exit the White House, and he turned around and you could see the pad in front of his mushroom.
Yeah, I saw that photo, too, and it seems that, I mean, that or he's wearing 18 pairs of boxer shorts.
Or it could be just a one of the pads you can buy at the store. Because I had to get those for my dad.
You know, we don't know that much about his medical history. But he's at the right age to have some prostate issues.
Well, that's also account for that picture of him on the golf course with the brown stain.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything saying that. I saw that photo and haven't seen anything saying that it was manufactured or photoshopped. But he's been a weird dude all his life. It's interesting you would bring that up, though, Sparky, because I've got a story that I've kind of had sitting around for a week or so. It has to do with a guy named Andrew Bezod, B-I-E-S-Z-A-D. And he penned this really, really twisted diatribe against gay people. And he this is a quote. It is not a simple accident as to why adult diapers have exploded in popularity, and it is not because of the generally aging population alone, but because of the LGBT, since due to their abuse of their colorectal regions, what they turned from being an exit only into their tunnel for hedonistic pleasure is a door that is now veritably permanently opened, for the thin muscles meant to expel waste material are no longer able to be held together tightly, and so as easy as one can stick unnatural objects into them, so can waste material easily fall out. So according to him, adult diapers make you gay, which is going to come as a real shock to Diaper Dave Vitter, or, well, as you brought up, Donald Trump.
And he knows this how?
Well, because he's obsessed with gay people and can't help thinking about sex acts that most gay people don't spend their lives thinking about nearly to the extent that this guy does.
He likes those thin muscles, doesn't he?
Wait a minute. Yeah, thin, yeah.
Or maybe it's because everybody over the age of 50 has to have a colonoscopy every other year.
Well, that...
Not if you do Cologuard.
Well, you know, some people just enjoy lucky. Those things.
Yeah, well, I don't.
I
went to the doctor today, and he looked in my records and said, "You're due." And I said, "I hate him. I hate to prep for him, but give me enough joy juice, I can get through anything." But anyhow, enough of my medical.
Well, but the thing is, you know, Andrew Thin, what was that? Andrew Thin Muscles Bezod. it doesn't look that old, and I'm betting he can't wait for his first colonoscopy. He's liable to yell through the haze of the milk of amnesia. Read the card. Read the card. That's an old joke.
But now, by the way, Bob, I don't know about what treatments you're aware of for prostate cancer, but I did not have any fecal matter incontinence with mine.
I've had 5 of them and have never experienced anything in that regard either.
No, I'm not talking about colonoscopies. I'm talking about prostate cancer treatment.
Oh, okay. No, and I mean, there can be some urinary issues. Depending
minor,
on the,
in my case,
depending on the nature of the procedure itself, and you know, then again, I don't look at the prostate, but whenever I run across one of those asshole Christians who say, no such thing as evolution. We are a product of intelligent design. You just look at him and say, well, who's the dumbass God who came up with the prostate now? Because if you're a male, you're pretty much consigned to prostate troubles. And you know, when I crossed the 50 boundary, all of a sudden my doctor started asking me, back when I could go to the doctor, how many times do you get up to go pee at night? And well, okay. Generally once. When? I'm like, you're really that interested? Yeah, about when I wake up. Gotta go pee. Okay, you're all right. We don't have to run any tests yet. And it's that yet that you go, no. But then again, Andrew Thin Muscles Bezod is probably eagerly awaiting his first prostate check. No, I mean, I might be young, Doc, but I mean, can't you check me anyway? I mean, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian, right? Matt in San Francisco. Adult diapers? He's an ass. And, yeah, because, I mean, I guess that's a thing. I mean, apparently, according to the hookers that David Bitter was running with, it is. But so what? But you know,
can't you count my polyps one more time, Doc?
Right. Look further. Look further. Read the card. but the sickest part of this is the degree to which they sit around thinking about how other people have sex. I mean, it's even one step removed from, well, the old lawyer joke, you know, the two lawyers walking down the street and they see an attractive person on the other side, and one lawyer looks at the other and says, "Man, I'd like to do them," and the other lawyer looks up and says, "Out of what?" Well, the Andrew Bezods of the world don't think about, well, they're just some sick bastards, okay? That's what it boils down to. They're sick. They're sick little bastards.
They don't want anybody to be happy.
Well, no, they want to be happy. They just want to make sure that they control everybody else's happiness.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And they're out there in rich profusion.
They litter the airwaves.
And on any given day, you can find it, you know, sitting around somewhere.
Well, you get us all the stories on Wednesday, Bob, every Wednesday.
Well, that's, you know, that's the whole purpose of Wednesdays, but, I mean, some won't keep, like this one. Been a while since we've heard from Rick Wiles.
Oh, great.
But Halloween is coming up. And remember, I think it was Rick Wiles whose dog was able to, whose dog Gator was able to identify demon-possessed inflatable spiders in his neighborhood. That one just stayed with me.
Yeah, and the Pokemon, the Pokemon demons too, right?
Yep.
Pokemon Go.
Well, Rick Wiles is out there trying to gin up $100 million. And by the way, while Rick Wiles is trying to gin up $100 million, we got 55 bucks to go. 55 tiny little dollars to go to complete Chris's, let's see, in case of emergency, I met Tracy's challenge. So Rick Wiles, taking his cues, of course, from his masters in the Repiglican Party, decided it was time to talk about Hillary Clinton some more, you know, because Hillary Clinton. Yeah, this is an official horn hockey puck warning. Come on, we can do this. Dadgummit. We'll get there. This is too stupid to miss. Try again.
I'm all wrapped up with the duct tape, Bob.
Well, yeah, and you know, just because I'm a little slow on the draw, don't for a minute take it. Don't. Just don't.
I'm using flex tape.
Well, you know, you don't want to pull a lot of hair with it, but you know, sometimes that happens. Here we go.
Physically, she's looking much better. She must be drinking a lot of blood.
On the vampirism diet.
Yeah. I mean, because she's definitely getting transfusions because she's stronger. Yeah, she was pretty weak back there in 2016. That woman was falling apart. But they've been taking her to a lot of spirit cooking events. And she's been revived.
Spirit cooking events. Oh, God. It's just nice to know that over here on our side, us are never going to have to deal with being constantly obsessed. Because if it weren't for the crimes that he commits, we'd pretty much just, you know, had he not run for president, I can't tell you how many times Donald Trump would not have come into conversation. And had he been defeated as he was supposed to be, absent Comey and absent the Russians, et cetera, ad nauseam, we wouldn't be talking about former presidential candidate Donald Trump. But Rick Wiles, who, by the way, has decided to work the anti-Semitism side of the street, too, well... That whole drinking blood business fits with that, because that's part of what's called the blood libel. And so he's sort of, two slurs in one. He's like a nasty little right-wing cert. Do they still make certs?
That's a great question. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they do, with a single drop of retin.
Ding!
Certs is a breath mint. Certs is a candy mint. No, it's two. Two mints in one. God, I can't believe I can quote that.
I thought Tic Tacs cornered that market.
No. The Certs was there long before Tic Tacs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I never cared for
that. They come along now and cornered the market.
Well, yeah, they do have a big share of the market, but I don't think certs went away. I'm sure certs didn't go away. I've seen them.
I don't notice them in the grocery store checkout.
Yeah, I don't either. Huh. I'm going to have to check that next. And I'm going to complain to the manager if they don't have them, too.
You see, sure you see, you see Tums, though.
Oh, yeah. God, Tums. You know who used to be a big fan of Tums? And you can probably guess, Bob. Aunt Emma.
Had to and be. Oh, my mother and father were Tums devotees.
Tums and Alberto VO5 hair stuff in the tube. And back then they had a version that was, instead of being like off color clear, they had it came out of the tube and the product was colored blue, like, you know, like toothpaste coming out of the tube. And it was for people with silver or white hair, because that's where hair
to the, well, to this day, I use either the local store knockoff, or when I can't, I buy the name brand, and I think it's Germac, and it's purple shampoo. And if
purple
you
shampoo.
Yeah, and it's for bleach blonde or white hair.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it's got,
I wonder what
it's got,
that
it's
purple
got,
is.
Well, it's bluing for extra whiteness, just like your laundry.
Oh, Jesus.
It's the same stuff. My tiny little grandmother went and got her hair did once a week, whether she needed it or not.
Yeah.
And when she came back from getting her hair did, it'd be all piled up and fluffy on her head. And I mean, there's a reason I make reference to the little old blue-haired ladies in the in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. It's a real phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because those first couple of days after she'd gotten her hair did on Saturday, it would be somewhere between blue and a light purple. Oh, but while we're talking about mints and whatnot, I'm still prone to occasionally buying a wintergreen Lifesavers, because what you do is you go into the bathroom, you turn out the light, you shut the door. No, nothing disgusting. Dinner is safe, but you stand in front of the mirror and bite it, and it'll make a spark.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. See what you get listening to this program, John?
Bob's in the bathroom again. He's got the lights off. What is he doing?
Crunch.
Bob.
Somebody pull the
fire crunching alarm. Mints.
Not any mints. Wintergreen.
Yeah.
And that's the other. Now you want to talk. About a pleasant taste sensation. Eat a wintergreen Lifesaver at the same time you're having a peppermint Lifesaver.
Oh, dear.
For some reason, it combines to taste like tea berry, which is the most unique and delightful flavor in the known universe.
And I think they still make tea berry gum.
They do.
Now that you mention it.
They still make tea berry, they still make blackjack, and they still make Beamans.
Oh, God, Beamans. Give me a stick of Beamans.
And I have...
The right stuff?
From the time I was tiny... I've taken a hard pass on the blackjack. Not a licorice guy.
Does anyone like the violet candies?
Is that one of those millennial things?
No. This is old candy, old, and they have. You can get the gum, or you can get the little square. I guess you can call them mints.
It became a thing during Mad Men. If you remember, if you ever saw a Mad Men, it figured in the storyline briefly.
Ah, okay. Well, I bought some of those at like an old school candy shop in the mall, and I got them, and I was watching a soccer game with my sister and her kids, and they were like, "Uncle Chris, can I have one of those?" And I gave it to him, and he put them in his mouth. He's, "Ew, this tastes disgusting." They termed them my laundry detergent mints. That's what they call them now.
I have never.
That's kind of what they smell like.
That is entirely a new one.
Well, anybody else remember a little dabble, do you? Brill cream?
Brill cream, a little dabble, do you? Yep.
They sell a lot of that in prisons, but I don't think they're using it for the intended purpose.
I use Vitalis.
Yeah, you Vitalis, know, Brill earlier, cream. I'm a Dapper Dan man myself.
And Butch hair wax.
Butch wax, yeah. Butch wax.
You were talking earlier about Joni Ernst and her hog castration.
Yes.
My first wife grew up in a place called Nevada, Missouri, in the southeast corner of Missouri.
and used to swear up and down that her daddy, when he would castrate the hogs, he would cauterize the wound with Vitalis.
Oh,
wow.
Now, see, you also got to remember that my father-in-law at the time was certifiable, literally. He was a paranoid schizophrenic. So I don't know for a fact. I never saw him do it. Let's just put it that way. But that's what my ex-wife used to say, that he, because it healed, it closed those wounds right up. I can't imagine that. As a matter of fact, it's creepy.
Maybe well, we've talked about it so many times. Let's go ahead and go back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. It was 2014, and Joni Ernst was running for Senate. And she did the hog deballer ad, and that's because, you know, that one was in our White House. Right? So, here we go.
I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm. So when I get to Washington, I'll know how to cut pork.
Joni Ernst, mother, soldier, conservative.
My parents taught us to live within our means. It's time to force Washington to do the same. To cut wasteful spending, repeal Obamacare, and balance the budget. I'm Joni Ernst, and I approve this message because Washington's full of big spenders. Let's make them squeal.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah, no,
and then she voted for the Republican tax cut.
Then she voted for the Republican tax cut. But, you know, remember, she also voted, she followed through on her promise and voted to take health care away from millions and millions and millions and millions, tens of millions of American citizens. Good for you, Joni Ernst.
But it still didn't happen, but it just still didn't happen, so she's not quite the promise keeper.
But the fact of the matter is, this is her first run for re-election. And I think she should probably have to wear her promise to take health care away from millions of Iowans. I mean, I presume there are at least millions of Iowans. She should have to wear that, own it. Yeah.
Do you know that brings up a good question? Do you think that there's going to be like an afterglow, a Democratic afterglow in Iowa because of all the candidates, the Democratic candidates who have been marching around in there and canvassing neighborhoods and, you know, and ads and what have you? Do you think that hearts and minds can get changed in Iowa?
Turn that
state, like, I don't know, purplish?
Well, if they're Fox News watchers.
Yeah, but you also have to consider that that's a big segment. Yeah, the FDR welfare plan is out there for the farmers, but the farmers want to grow their crops, and it can't. And the welfare that Trump is passing out can't keep up with what they would otherwise be making if we weren't in the middle of a trade war. A lot of this.
It's the corporate farms that are getting the welfare, not the family farms.
Absolutely right.
Yep.
And the ag secretary just the other day said he can't guarantee a small dairy producer is going to stay in business.
Well, there have been Democratic senators from Iowa in my lifetime. Now, I know that goes back a ways, but in recent years,
Harkin, right?
Well, yeah.
He's a legend.
Who do you think Joni Ernst took the place of?
Yeah, I think you're right, Sparky.
And I don't think Harkin was defeated. He didn't run.
He retired.
He retired.
See, and that's the other thing. I know that the map is marginal. Like, in a perfect world, it could work out okay, the Senate map in 2020 in favor of us. But then again, you've got to have, you know, the voters follow through. Well, you got to run people, first of all. For a long time, Democrats in certain places wouldn't even run an opposing candidate. I know in some of the House races, because maybe it was pointless. Well, we're not living in a pointless world today. Everything matters. you know. And I really think that the fucking Republicans have shown their true colors, that they're not interested in governing, not interested in the people they supposedly represent. They are sold out to the corporate interests, and they need to be shown the fucking door.
I pray to the flying spaghetti monster that you're right, Scott.
Oh, and thanks to Ron and Raleigh serving as the ad hoc horn research department, the population of Iowa is 3.156 million. So, yes, she voted to take away health care from 3.156 million of Iowegians. Oh, and yes, back to the certs. Ron points out, again, as the evening's ad hoc horn research department, certs are still with us. They have been since 1956. I remember when they came out. And Randy in PA, because, well, we talk about these kinds of things. European licorice causes problems with certain medications. I used to hate Good and Plenty licorice flavor. Yep. I tried. My parents loved whorehound and licorice, and they just it was lost on me.
Yeah, whorehound is one that, I mean, I don't mind. Remember those candies, root beer barrels?
Oh, now Agnes loves root beer barrels.
Oh, Jesus. But yeah, whorehound, you can just have all you want. You can have mine because I don't mind good licorice, okay? Apparently, there's something chemically in it, the actual good licorice, where it, like, increases your heartbeat or something, your heart rate. I think I read that somewhere.
I just remember as a kid that the Switzer's Licorice Factory was in downtown St. Louis, and we went there one year, and on a hot summer day, the entirety of downtown Riverside St. Louis smelled like licorice, and it smelled lovely. It's just that it tastes like shit.
Yeah. Getting back to certs, it seems to me, and I'm a little confused whether it was certs or Trident gum, which I think is still around. I believe it was certs originally in that era when I was a kid, was made by Lambert, the same people that gave us Listerine. I don't have a complete corporate history in front of me, but just for if it ever comes up in trivia, you know, I'm the guy.
Can't you jump in the Wayback Machine and find it?
I was on here for a little while and had to go away. For the better part of the afternoon, I've been jumping through flaming hoops trying to get Amazon to get their wretched act together. For 2 months in a row, an item that I have ordered, it confirms out in the shopping, confirmation, and payment process as being the right item. But then 2 days later, I open the box on the front door here, front porch, and it's the wrong item, okay? And it's happened 2 months in a row now. And last time, they resolved it quickly. They said, keep the product that you didn't want. We'll replace the order, send it to you, compliments of us, and you'll get it in 2 days, which is exactly what happened. Today, what they're doing is keep the thing that arrived in error. We'll issue a credit on your account, and you can reorder it. So now they're not sending it automatically. So hopefully it'll work out. Although the other thing that I ordered, and I was going to mention this, I normally do viewing tips, but today will be a reading tip. It's a relatively new book by Stanley Greenberg, a Democratic pollster, called RIPGOP, How the New America is Dooming the Republicans. And I see on the back of the book jacket a blurb, provocative, insightful, and deeply personal. RIPGOP shows how Republicans weaponized hatred, sexism, and bigotry to hijack the Oval Office. Through vivid detail and analysis backed up by hard data, Stan Greenberg outlines a blueprint for the new America, a new American majority, to destroy the rigged system that made Donald Trump possible, as he offers the hope that we can create an America that builds opportunity for everyone, not just the wealthy and the well-connected. And that blurb was penned by Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Nice.
There's also a blurb on the back here from Robert Reich. So I am eagerly. You remember that book that we got a couple of years ago about Fantasyland?
Yes.
By Kurt Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling this book will be of that caliber. I was flipping through it, and there's charts and graphs. And I saw Stanley Greenberg on a C-SPAN hour-long program a week or so ago. And that's what convinced me to buy the book. The guy is a pollster. He's been around a long time. He was, and maybe still is, kind of establishment, but he certainly knows his data. And that's what I was looking for, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about. I mean, that becomes even more important, vitally important, in today's world of mis and disinformation, you know? So anyway, I look forward to launching into this book. End of commercial.
Sounds good.
Go watch Goliath.
Oh, yeah, that the new one's out today. The fourth. One,
right? Oh, it is.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah, season four launched today.
Week from today. El Camino.
I saw that expanded trailer the other day, Sparky, where old Joe shows up, the junkyard guy.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a riveting 2 hours a week from today on Netflix.
Wait, is it or is it not? I thought you said it started today.
No, Goliath does.
Oh, okay.
Amazon.
Season three launched today, and then the Netflix movie, El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, 2 hour movie.
Ah, okay, yeah. Got it.
It's on Netflix starting next Friday at 12:01 a.m. from what I'm told.
And you'll be waiting there when it, yes.
Oh, I'll be sitting here in my footy pajamas with a bowl of popcorn and just rocking back and forth like an autistic, not like a differently gifted person, you know.
Andrew New Malloy coffee, Scott.
Yeah, and I'll be like,
get some of that.
I'll be like the Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, you know, 10 minutes to Wapner, you know.
Getting back to Iowa senators.
Yeah.
In January 3rd, 1949 to 55, there was a guy, Gillette, who lost re-election. And then 55 to 61, there was a Republican who retired. And another Republican took his seat till 73. And then Dick Clark was from 73 to 79, lost a re-election. Roger Jepsman, 79 to 85, lost re-election. Tom Harkin was elected in 84 and served till 2015 and retired. And now Joni Ernst was elected in 2014.
Well, as Darlene in Connecticut, said, "Oh my God, that Joni Ernst ad was so wrong on so many levels. I don't even know where to begin. That alone should have tanked her candidacy, but no, because America."
Now this Dick Clark doesn't look like the Dick Clark that was on the TV.
I was going to say, did he vote on any legislation by saying it had a good beat and you could dance to it?
I don't think so. 73 to 79, wasn't Dick Clark still on TV?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not dead yet, is he?
Oh, yeah, he died about 8-10 years ago.
But they still let him to host. They still let him host New Year's Rockin' Eve from the grave for a couple of years.
Oh. Well, he had a pretty bad stroke. And never really recovered real well from it. Although the last couple of years he was on the New Year's Rockin' Eve, and it was really kind of sad because it really affected his speech center. And geez, you know, I used to like him as a TV personality and a broadcaster and a businessman until I watched Bowling for Columbine. Because he figures in that story. You remember that?
I don't remember that, Scott. I remember the movie. I don't remember that part.
Yeah. His apparently, this woman worked at the Dick Clark Rock and Roll restaurant, and she had to travel an hour each way to go to the job. And I think her kid somehow got into proximity of a gun, and either the kid was killed or the kid killed another kid. And Michael Moore confronted Dick Clark over the fact that one of his employees was killed, one of his family members of an employee was killed by gun violence. Because I think it was in one of those states where, in order to receive some sort of benefits, the person had to work a certain amount of hours. And this poor woman had to be shuttled an hour each way, put her kid into care, you know, while she was meeting the requirements of this government program, you know, only to have her kid or some kid killed. And Dick Clark, you know, is counting his money, you know. And maybe it was unfair to try to tie Dick Clark into it simply because the woman worked at one of his franchised restaurants, but he really gave Michael Moore the hand, you know, would not comment, was really snotty about it too. And that,
well, I'm sure she wasn't the only one. He probably had a conduit into that program.
Oh, right? I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. Because they watch out for one another, for Christ's sake, you know.
Get the cheap labor over to the Dick Clark restaurant.
I never knew he had restaurants.
Oh, yeah. He had. Then I don't know when the man slept. He did. When I was at one particular station in the 80s, when I was working in Kansas City, we on Sundays, we ran a two-hour syndicated program that he hosted called Dick Clark's Rock, Roll, and Remember. Might have been 3 hours, I forget. But he did that. He did Bandstand. He did another 1 or 2 hour countdown type show that was syndicated to radio. He did the fucking bloopers and practical jokes. He had all kinds of businesses. You know, his restaurant, you know, I forget the name of it. I think it was Dick Clark's Rock and Roll, you know, Heaven or some shit. I don't know. Somebody can look it up. But yeah, he was a multi-millionaire. He'd written books about staying young. I mean, any opportunity to make a buck, you could find old Dick at the other end of it.
Yeah, him and Ed McMahon doing the blooper shows. I remember that.
You are correct, sir. Jesus.
Oh, just a quick heads up. Expect... You know, now that she's getting some momentum, you know that the for-profit media are going to turn their baleful gaze toward Elizabeth Warren, and we laughed and joked about little Jacob Wool, but the campaign has fired its national organizing director. And it's not a Me Too. There's no sexual improprieties, but nobody's saying exactly what it was. So don't be surprised if you turn on the TV and somebody's sitting there speculating about why her national organizing director had to go. God damn it. I just saw that cross from Politico and, you know, same shit, different day.
Make up a conspiracy theory.
No, I'm not. I'm not even going to whisper that into
the
universe.
You ever notice the left really sucks at conspiracy theories?
Well, the left may actually we're sort of invested in being part of what was once derided during the Reign of Error as the reality-based community.
Yeah.
She's like a front runner. I think she's still slightly behind Biden, but now she's number two instead of number three.
Well, not in some states she's not behind Biden.
Well, what I'm saying is, don't they drag the scandals out whenever they perceive somebody rising in the polls?
And their money total came out too, which make like $24.5 million.
Yeah, just under Bernie. Well, Bernie was like 25-something in the third quarter.
Did really well. Yeah, and
then speaking of Bernie, the certain elements of the media, he had this stent procedure the other day, a fairly common procedure. It's been done for years, and it's pretty well perfected. And they're making it sound as if he is about to knock on death's door, totally incapacitated. Hell, Count Dicula, he had so many fucking stents put in, they issued him a card, and they'd punch it every time he got a new one, and the 10th stent was free.
Yeah, no, you know? Well, you know, remember, for a while...
Now he's walking around with a new heart.
Yeah, yeah. And remember, for a while there, Count Dicula, by the way, that's Jim's. Jim came up with Count Dicula. For a while there, Count Dicula didn't even have a pulse.
Yeah. Yeah. But my point is they're making it sound as if Bernie could outdo me in terms of keeping up a frenetic pace. I've seen the man in person and watched him all through 16. I mean, yeah, he's older, but Jesus, I mean, for a man his age, he certainly is well constructed. I mean, to be able to keep up that pace that a national campaign requires, it's no small thing.
And we can't forget that the Burners, you know, the Burners, as much as they derided and hated Hillary, he busted his ass cruising around the country supporting her in the general. I mean, and that took a lot of effort, and, you know, he wouldn't be able to do that if he wasn't a healthy man. And he wouldn't be able to do what he's doing now without being a healthy man, you know?
True on
both
counts.
I think he's going to be fine.
I think he's going to be fine, and I don't want this to be taken in the wrong way. But if you look at life expectancy in the era of the founding, people did make it into their 70s and 80s. I mean, look at Franklin. He was, what, 84 or so when he passed?
Mm-hmm.
But they did not contemplate a president that old. I mean, I think the first time you get a really older-ish president, maybe I'm wrong, somebody fact-check me, but isn't that like William Henry Harrison? And isn't he the first one to die in office? He caught a cold walking during his inauguration and gone in weeks.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
And that's not ageism. There's a big difference between being a 78-year-old senator and a 78-year-old president. We've got a 73-year-old president who is falling apart before our very eyes. Ronald Reagan, as I mentioned earlier, was not as old as Bernie is now when he left office, and he left office doing his best Woody Woodpecker impression. I mean, he wasn't home. By the time he left office, Ronald Reagan was the only person who didn't know Ronald Reagan had ever been president.
Reagan was a vegetable just like he made ketchup a vegetable.
Well, yeah, that's cold, but true. And so, and the same goes for Biden. Elizabeth Warren is 70, but I cut her some slack because women age differently than men, especially when they've taken care of themselves and not smoked and not drank and, you know, not behaved like American male politicians, basically.
And bruised Marines' backs.
Right, yeah.
Speaking of diminished capacity or other issues for presidents. Did you wade through that Conway piece in Atlantic, Unfit for Office?
Yeah, I did.
That I posted? He raises some pretty damn good points. He's Kelly, that's where Kellyanne gets the Conway, because she's married to this guy. Boy, that must be fun in that household, with her lapping up the Kool-Aid, the Trump Kool-Aid, and George writing essays in the Atlantic, calling Trump everything but a child of God.
William Henry Harrison, 1841, first to die.
That's what I thought. And how old was he, Roger?
I don't have that, but then Zach Taylor was the next. Abraham Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, Harding, Roosevelt, and Kennedy.
Well, he got caught out in the rain in March for his inauguration and spoke for an hour. Wasn't he the one?
Yeah.
And caught
died of typhoid pneumonia or paratyphoid fever 31 days into his term.
Yeah.
And he became the first to die in office. And then there was an argument over who should succeed him.
Right, and there was the argument over would the vice president become president or would the vice president become acting president? And that was not fully sorted out until the ratification of the 25th Amendment.
It should assume the office of president or merely execute the duties of the vacant office. Tyler claimed a constitutional mandate to become the new president and took the presidential oath of office, setting an important precedent for an orderly transfer and its full powers. Blah, 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 blah.
What is Tyler's name?
John Tyler.
Isn't he the one that was in the news a year or so ago that has living grandsons? Because he was president back in that era, and apparently his second wife, who he married quite late in life, was considerably younger and bore him a couple of sons. And it's either sons or grandsons of Tyler. I think that's the one I'm thinking
grandsons of. Or maybe great-grandsons.
No, not great. They're both in their 70s or probably by now 80s, early 80s. But they're sons of the president of a president that was president when John Tyler was president, you know, which when I first saw that article online, I said, no, that can't be true. But I read it, and by God, it is true.
He was before Lincoln.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's got to be grandsons.
Maybe it was grandsons. See, I'm so discombobulated this week, I can't tell you. Never mind.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
He died in 1862, Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it would have to be grandsons.
Or, no, great grandsons. I'm sorry. If he died in 1862, I'm 74, and my grandfather was born in 1874.
Yeah, I'm 56, and my great grandfather was born in 1860.
Hey, Bob, I want to go back to that Hillary Clinton cooking spirits. What was Wiles talking about?
Oh, no, spirit. Spirit cooking. It's one of those paranoid fantasies, John, that derives from the same place that Pizzagate comes from. It's all about how Hillary and John Podesta and a few other people were gathered around this witch who cooked with human blood.
So Bob, when you're getting ready to cook your spirits for Halloween, are you going to smoke them, or are you going to try to cook them on the griddle?
Spirits?
Yeah.
I'm going to drink them. Yeah, I'm giving me a cowbell.
Hey, speaking of that, is Tracy? That was good. Is Tracy still there?
Tracy went grocering. I don't know if she came back or not.
Oh.
No, I'm back.
There she is. Good.
I had to go buy the wife a hunk of meat.
There you go. Hunk of love.
Hunk of burning meat.
I had to, because I told her I'm
I have resigned myself to the fact that because I can't really do red meat, it just locks me up. And so I have resigned. As much as I said I was not going to start making two meals, yeah, whatever. So I got my son and I fish, and she's going to have red meat. So that part.
So yes. How's your Halloween party coming along? Your planning?
The planning is great. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we're going to start decorating the front of the house and for the party. Not for the party, but just decorating the house in general for Halloween. We're going to do simple for the food, for dinner, for the food. I'm going to do chili. I'm going to do a beef chili and a chicken chili. And we're going to do sandwiches, a sandwich bar, and various finger, sundries.
Oh, damn, that's going to be fun.
And I'm going to do a chili bar as well. So we're going to have, the fixings, with all the different kind of toppings, tomatoes, green onions, red onions, white onions, cheese, olives, Fritos, rice, stuff like that.
No mayonnaise, though, right?
No, there's white people there, baby. There has to be mayonnaise. mayonnaise, mustards, different kind of mustards, different kind of cheese.
Yeah, but there ain't gonna be no. There's not gonna be a bottle of mayo chup. I won't even let that in my house.
No. Tracy, I was
there'll
in
be,
the mayonnaise
there'll
aisle.
There'll be no Miracle Whip. Fuck no.
Oh no.
I was in the mayonnaise aisle at Ralph's the other night, and I thought of you. I saw a brand of mayonnaise on the shelf that I'd never heard of. Maybe
it didn't
it's
have
just,
my name on it. The
name of the brand at Ralph's was Sir Kensington.
Oh.
Which seemed like a rather regal name for a mayonnaise.
That's some highfalutin mayonnaise.
That's some highfalutin mayonnaise.
And I wondered,
White guy name, yeah.
I said, I got to tell Tracy about this. Maybe she'll check it out. But just very quickly, I've figured out the deal with Tyler's grandsons.
And it was grandsons. James in Illinois wrote in and says, Tyler's grandson, he was on the TV.
Yeah.
August 2019, he had two of them. One was born in 1924, and the other was born in 1928.
Yeah, because their father, who was Tyler's son, lived from 1853 until 1935.
Leon Gardner Tyler.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
There are current grandchildren living today, elderly.
They're playing Ancestry.com.
Presidential.
Civil War era.
Tracy, it turns out President John Tyler's grandsons are still among the quick.
Oh.
And he was president in the 1850s. Was that what you said?
Yeah.
Tip a canoe and Tyler too, right?
Yeah. Oh, and hey, we got about 20 minutes left in the program. We got $55 to go on Chris's challenge. And I just got a note from Rico in DeBerg, who said, I can't listen live, but please let me know if the challenge has been met. And it's a $50 challenge in support of mental health care, and I'll add another $25 if it's met. And says, love you and hope you and your family are well. Well, we're not exactly well, but, we're trying. Signed, Rico in DeBerg, Kill the Ravens.
I have a question, Bob.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. Did you mention anything about Diane Carroll dying?
No, I didn't. I only saw that as I was wandering in.
The first black, the first woman of color, African American woman to have her own TV show.
Mm-hmm. Julia.
And she was a single parent, played a single parent on television. She was on, Dynasty playing basically the first black bitch, on television.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Badass, put Alexis Colby in her place on several occasions. And
Well, wasn't she, Didn't they wrestle in the fountain? Or was
no.
that? No,
that
okay.
was her. That was Linda Evans.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But and also, you know, about the conviction of the Amber Geiger.
Yeah.
Who? But see, here's the, you know, and me and Jan got in. We didn't get into it really per se because she's like, you know, about the young brother of the young man that was murdered in cold blood, in my opinion. And she only got, the young lady only got 10 years. And Jan's like, oh, well, you know, blah, blah. I said, no.
Nope.
No, it was not a mistake. It was not an accident because, see.
Well, the fact that they had the nerve to mount the Stand Your Ground defense when she was in somebody else's apartment.
Somebody else's apartment. And when, you know, it could have been an act. I'm like, no. Because, see, I have been tired. I have worked, you know, 2, 3, 4 days straight. And, Bob, I promise and guarantee you this. I have never accidentally walked past my apartment and walked into somebody else's apartment. Never, ever, ever, ever. I have done, you know how you've done autopilot things when you mean to go somewhere, but you're so tired, you wind up still just going home anyway. Because
yep.
It's like, oh, I want to go to the store. But you're so tired, you go on autopilot. But when you went on autopilot, did you go to somebody else's house, Bob?
No.
What did you do, Bob?
Went home.
You went into autopilot. You went home. You walked into your house.
Well, the whole thing about autopilot is that autopilot knows how to replicate a route.
That part, Bob. She walked.
The part that creeped me out, and I saw this a little bit ago, was the juror, because they interviewed the jurors. Of course they did. And I got to see if I can find it here. There it is. I just can't give her 28 years. Jurors in Amber Geiger murder trial speak. And the fact of the matter is the jurors had no business imposing sentence in the first place, and that's just another one of those fucked up things that Texas does. A male juror said, I was listening to some people say they agreed with 28 years. I asked for a lighter sentence. Another member of the jury said, juror number 34 said, I'm going to be honest and true. I was like, I can't give her 28 years. And juror 34 was a black woman.
Mm-mm. And see, here's the thing. Here's my issue. That part. I can't find it now, but I just read something on Facebook. Because now every fucking news outlet is going to show the picture of the brother hugging this woman. I am so tired of black people forgiving these people. I mean, yes. Okay. Nothing wrong with forgiving motherfuckers for killing your husband, your child, whatever, in private. I'm not going to hug a mother. If somebody killed my son, because remember my reaction for the fool that ran up on my son and hit him after the election, I was ready to kill this fool, and the only thing he did was hit my child. So if you think I'm going to roll up on this bitch, on a bitch that shot and killed my child, and so the whole world can see me hugging her? No.
I'm sorry too. The case seemed to hinge on her contention that she didn't know she was in the wrong apartment. Now, first of all, this supposes that she got to the door, thought it was her place, turned the knob, and walked right in. Well, first of all, who goes around with their apartment door unlocked? If she was at her place, she would know to put a key in the door to open the door.
That part.
If it opened without a key, then that should have thrown her out of automatic pilot. It would me. I mean, I can see pulling into the wrong driveway or the wrong parking spot. But when you get to the door and it opens, hell, even being a cop, that should raise your antennae.
Here's the one fuck up that I do make, and I've seen a lot of people make it. You get in the elevator, you press, let's say you're on the 10th floor. You get in the elevator goes a little bit, and it goes ding, and the doors open, and you step out. The number of times that either my buddy Bo or I have done that in various office buildings in D.C. can't be counted. And one of us grabs the other and goes, not our floor.
That part.
And I think it's just because I think people don't like elevators. And you're just trying to get where you're going. But Jimmy in the Great Northwest sent in a correction. I said stand your ground. No, it's even worse. The defense mounted the Castle Doctrine. And the Castle Doctrine stems from the old line, a man's home is his castle. Well, it weren't her castle.
Weren't her castle.
But the news account makes a big deal of the fact that the jury was primarily made up of people of color and women. And they deliberated for 5 hours. And according to Juror 21, all 12 of us said she was guilty probably within 5 minutes of being in there. She said, and it was kind of easy. That's why the 5 minutes. She said before she even went inside, she made up her mind outside the door that she was going to kill the threat. But then they said that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't drop the hammer on her because she exhibited remorse. But the problem was the other thing that the prosecution presented during the proceedings was the notion. Well, I mean, she had some nasty ass text messages and emails about working with African American cops. Now, I mean, she didn't say ginger or anything like that, but she did. She did say, you know, they just do things differently. Ugh.
You know, because I'm just tired, you know, of it's the Christian thing to do. No, I could forgive her. But the bitch needs to go down for 28 years. Because the judge wanted to throw the book at her.
And I think he would have been within his rights if he had said, obviously, this jury has been moved by something other than the evidence, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to overrule the verdict of the jury. And by the way, there was no elevator. James in Illinois tells me you park on the same level where you live in that building. And he reminds us burglars don't redecorate.
Nope.
You know, this case really reminds me of the case a few years ago of the white police officer that shot and killed a black man. I don't remember what state it was. And I believe there was an interview on 60 Minutes. And I was watching that with my mother when she was sick. And we kind of got it into it together, like she was trying to make excuses. And I was like, no, Mom. There's no way you can make an excuse for this. No way. And it was a pretty heart-wrenching episode. And I don't remember the details of the case. Maybe somebody here does remember, but it was a while back. But I do remember it was pretty cut and dry. And I said, she shot that man because of her bias. The end of story. And my mom was like,
was that
she
the
was
one
scared.
Of the retarded black guy that was on the ground and the cop shot him?
Well, this was a woman. This was a woman police officer.
Oh, was that?
Yeah,
the, no.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Traffic stop.
What?
There was a traffic stop.
And they said that's a pretty bad hombre or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think
is that the Tulsa case? Hombre.
It could have been Oklahoma.
The one where they had the helicopter
that showed her doing it. Yeah, that's Tulsa.
Okay. Yeah. And it's my mom was trying to make excuses. Well, she's an officer, she's got a dangerous job, blah blah blah, the same old excuses. And I'm like, no. And you watch the video, and it's, you know, pretty clear cut case. And I believe she got off.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
I mean, cause I'm really tired. I'm tired. I mean, somebody's like, well, at least she's going to jail, but she could be out in 5 years.
Yeah, with good behavior, right?
With good behavior. And here's the case. Now, see, now, you know, I've talked to you guys about my mom, and she's, you know, this and that, and, you know, she's a minister and all that. But even my mother, she went all fire and brimstone on the bitch. She's like, oh, hell no. Well, she didn't cuss, but she's like, no.
Well, by the way, this is a California question. Didn't y'all eliminate cash bail?
Yeah.
Well, just as kind of an update on the way out the door. Oh, but wait. Sir. By the way, breaking news. A second official who has what is described as more direct information about Nitwit Nero trying to shake down the Ukraine is considering whether to file his or her own whistleblower complaint.
Oh, snappity-snap-snap-snap.
Yeah, and on the one hand, you're like, yeah, good, I hope he does, or she. But the other side of that is, excuse me, didn't he admit it in front of God and cameras a couple of days ago? So, okay, groovy, we got corroboration of the first one, but he admitted it, and he admitted it again today.
So what difference does it make?
I mean, it's kind of gilding the lily. And so on the way out the door, I was just going to give a little bit of an update. Like I said, Agnes and I spent the better part of the day dealing with what we've been dealing with. And it's rough. And if it's rough for us, my God, you know. But,
hey, Bob.
But yes, Scott.
I'm sorry. Before you go, I had a quick TV viewing tip, but I didn't want to interrupt with.
Okay. Yeah,
I want to do the sports story I sent you, Bob.
Well, I just want to wrap up this a little bit because it's, you know, when cash bail disproportionately affects people of color and people who do not have automatic access to cash. So his bail is $5,000, and what we've been working on all day long, thanks to some tremendous help that I got just navigating the system, I learned a lot of things about what he's got to have to get help. And the one thing he can't be is incarcerated. And he's got cash bail on him. And so he'd have to make that cash bail in order to get unincarcerated. And he can't come back home, so that means finding him, like, a homeless shelter or something. These are the things that we're dealing with. And, you know, well, I'm not going to...
See, it's not bad enough that the issue is heart-rending and difficult enough. They've got to add extra hods of bricks onto your load to even try to approach getting things sorted out and handled and resolved and healed.
Right. And what I found out, and one of the things I found out today, is that it could, because of the nature of the judicial system here, with the cash bail on him, it could be December before he even has a preliminary hearing.
Jesus.
Oh, that's unreal, Bob.
And, you know, he did the things that got this ball rolling. There's no getting around that.
And I've had a number of people say, tough love, Bob. Got to leave him where he is. That may be the right answer. But I'm having a hard time sorting out how you make somebody with mental illness and addiction better by leaving them in jail at the tender mercies of whoever it is that they're sharing a cell with.
What the hell charge did he get charged with a $5,000 bail?
Two counts of domestic battery.
Well, tough love is all well and good in many situations. But if we're talking about, you may as well say October, November, and into December before the matter can be adjudicated. That, to me, if he's in a fragile state of some sort to begin with, what are 3 months, 2.5 months in jail going to do to compound that core issue? I mean, Jesus.
Right. And he can't apply to any of the long-term rehab facilities as long as he's incarcerated. So I had several conversations today, and it's a Gordian knot. And unlike Alexander the Great, you know, I can't just hack at it with a sword. We've never faced anything like this in our lives.
Bob, how are your daughters doing through all this as well?
Oh, they're okay. They're okay. I mean, yeah. His behavior and his illness had done a pretty good job of alienating him from them long ago. And so all we can do is keep trying to solve the problem.
Well, and see, that's why it's really incumbent upon the Horn family to surround Bob and Agnes and Ferg and the whole situation in as much good energy and
oh yeah, oh, and right, and thank you, Scott. There's one more wrinkle. At some point,
there always is, Bob.
Yeah. He has to do all the applications in person. I can't apply for it.
God. Who's got the Flaming Hoops concession?
And
in your
No. But wait, there's more. He also has to figure out a way to get a Medicaid card before he can be admitted to any of these facilities.
That's a really long process, isn't it, Bob?
It can happen fairly quickly, but it requires his presence. I can't sign for him. I'm not his guardian. I feel horrible insofar as, you know, I'm sitting here saying what it's doing to his mother and me. Well, we're not the people who have addiction. We're not the person with the addiction problems and the mental illness sitting in a goddamn jail.
And time hangs heavy on your head in that environment.
At least he's alive, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, there is that.
A deputy showed up in our driveway two nights ago, and we both ran into the yard, scared to death that we were going to be told that he wasn't.
Oh, God.
It turned out not to be the case, but Agnes's heart was going about a million miles a minute, and my hands were shaking so badly I could barely hold the flashlight.
I don't wish upon anybody the same thing that I and my wife went through at the beginning of this year.
I know.
And the thing is, the system.
And we're trying
and
to.
The,
and we're
and the
we're trying. We're trying.
Needn't be so cumbersome.
No, that's why I mentioned California eliminating cash bail.
Yeah.
And you know, Sparky, what we're trying to do is prevent that from happening. A different avenue. But prevent that from happening. So I just felt like I should give an update. As Darlene says, holy shit, Bob. Domestic battery is huge. As a fellow lawyer, I know the difference between assault and battery. I hope you and or Agnes did not get seriously hurt, but I'm still sore. I had to fight him off me. I mean, no punches were thrown, but it was, it felt like pretty existential grappling. And my neck's messed up, and my right arm is, I guess I pulled or stoved or whatever, something. But I wanted you all to know that, and I am, I'm pretty much done in for the day. Lee in New York says, please remember, it is not choosing the best option. It is choosing the best option of the ones you have. And we're just trying to maximize. Yeah, I agree. And we're just trying to maximize what's in front of us. So maybe we'll learn something more on Monday. I hope we do.
Is there any agency, like a social services agency that can walk you through and help you navigate?
I mean, some, but I mean, that's what I've been doing, Scott.
God damn.
And I've learned all that. So thank you, Sparky. I'm going to say goodnight. And thank you all for the compassion and the kind thoughts, and yes, even the prayers some of you have sent for all of us here concerned. Thank you so very much. Thank you beyond my ability to express it. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room and in the Skype group. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. We love you, son.